Moncrief on News Talk.
According to the psychologist Guy Winch, the happiest time of the week is 7:26 on a Saturday evening, which is pretty much equidistant between leaving work on a Friday and starting it all over again on a Monday. It's fair to say that an awful lot of people, for various reasons, don't really like their jobs that much. What can they do about that? And does so-called quiet quitting make things better or worse? Guy is the author of Mind Over Grind. Good afternoon, Guy.
Good afternoon.
Why do so many people hate their jobs, Guy?
Because the workplace is a very challenging place at the moment. We have a lot of pressures. There's a lot of stress involved in it. And we mismanage that stress. So we take a bad situation and we make it worse inadvertently.
Right. And when you say challenging, though, is that kind of a nice way of saying people feel they're abused constantly by their employers or neglected by their employers, or they're just a mindless cog in a machine?
Yes, well, certainly a lot of people do feel that way, and for good reason. Not all, of course. But by the way, many self-employed people like myself also find the workplace very difficult at the moment. Again, because we self-impose this mismanagement of some of these pressures that makes things worse for us.
Yeah. Though I suppose if you're self-employed, at least you know who's putting the pressure on you and you can answer them back without any fear of getting fired.
That's true, but it's difficult to stop that pressure when you're driven, when you're motivated, when you're trying to succeed, when all the responsibility is on your shoulders.
Yeah. Now, the idea of quiet quitting then, is that an option? That seems to be a fairly widespread thing at the moment.
Look, quiet quitting is a relationship management technique, right? In other words, if you employer don't really care about me, my work-life balance, my development, then I will stop caring about you and I'll disengage. Except that if you're in a relationship in which you feel the other person doesn't care about you, the solution isn't to disengage from that person. The solution is to find another relationship. So if quiet quitters were doing it temporarily in order to gain some bandwidth to then strategize about their next career move, find another job, retrain somewhere, then that would be smart. But actually, it's a long-term strategy for a lot of people. And as a long-term strategy, it doesn't work because it doesn't actually solve anything.
Right. Okay. And why doesn't it work? Because I suppose maybe people think I'll just quiet quit because, you know, the money's good and I need to pay my mortgage.
Yes, but the money might be only good as long as you're employed. And if you quiet quit, you're certainly not moving up the ladder. You're certainly not advancing your career. You're treading water. You're static. Again, good for a while if you're catching your breath and doing something with it. But as a long-term strategy, the people who don't quiet quit, who actually invest in their jobs and their careers, your coworkers will start moving ahead. That difference will be noticed. So you're actually stalling rather than moving.
Though, could some people do that as a lifestyle choice in that they're prioritizing what's important in their life and saying, I'll just give this job so much, but there are so many other things in my life, you know, my family and my friends and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, but you have to support your family at some point. And if you're okay with your lifestyle, if you have a moderate lifestyle, if you can support yourself on the income that you make and your family, and you truly have no ambition to succeed more, to get more satisfaction, maybe. But the other thing is we spend more of our time at our jobs than we do at home. So it's a place where we need to feel good about ourselves. We need to feel challenged and satisfied and proud. So you're also settling for spending the majority of your life meh, really not feeling much.
If you work at home, though, does that have a favorable impact on that?
No, because again, you might be working at home, but you're still not satisfied, not challenged. You're not feeling proud and accomplished, you know, and so that really matters. Now, at the end of the day, you don't have a commute. You can close your laptop and move on. But the other problem about working at home is it erases the boundaries, the psychological boundaries between work and home, and it makes it harder to switch off.
So is it worse then to be working at home?
For many people, yes, but it's not about is it worth working at home. It's like when you work at home, you have to manage yourself in certain ways. You have to create the psychological separation because there isn't a physical one. You have to change clothes at the end of the day. You have to shift the lighting, listen to music, create this real separation in your mind between the work hours and the personal family life. Because, and again, you have to do that more, especially when you're working from home, because otherwise you'll be thinking about work at home. You'll feel, well, I can just dip in and do some emails or respond to them, but then you're extending your work day unnecessarily.
Yeah, though I suppose, you know, if something stressful or bad happens at work, you might want to talk about it to your partner, for instance. So is that a bad idea? Because that increases the amount of rumination on the subject.
Yes, well, it's a good idea if you do it correctly. To do it correctly means to say to your partner, listen, this was a really difficult day. Something happened. I would love to talk to you about it with the goal, here's the important part, with the goal of then being able to put it aside so I can be engaged and present in whatever it is the evening is about. It doesn't have to be exciting. I can be engaged and present in putting the kids to sleep, watching TV, whatever the thing would be. But the goal of talking about it is to figure it out, is to find solutions, to problem solve, not just to vent about it and feel miserable and victimized, because then you're more likely to ruminate about it after, and then you didn't actually solve anything.
Right, okay. But if you don't, if you talk about it and you don't solve anything, that's going to make you feel worse.
Yes, but you don't actually have to, look, it's difficult to reach solutions sometimes, but you can agree on a strategy. You know what? Let's table this for now. And what I need to find out is I need to talk to my colleague and find out if this happened to them and how they managed it. Or I need to go and see if my boss is still angry with me the next day, and then we can continue the discussion. Do the best you can with it in that moment. If there's a full stop you can put on it in that moment, you'll be able to put it aside and not have to ruminate about it.
Yeah. Easier said than done, though, I would have thought, especially if it's something dramatic or, you know, if you just hate your job or hate your colleagues.
But if you keep telling yourself, I hate my job and I hate my colleagues, what you're actually doing is you're setting yourself up to be much more stressed out, because that means that every minute you're working, you're actually, your body is in fight or flight. It's anticipating this hateful this or this hateful that. And I would wager that no job is terrible all the time. There have to be some meetings which are just okay. There have to be some colleagues which are not obnoxious. There's got to be a lunchtime you can take where you can sit outside and, you know, and enjoy a special lunch. So not every moment is miserable. When you frame your job as it's terrible, I hate my job, I hate my colleagues, my job is terribly stressful, you're setting yourself up to experience it as far more stressful than it actually is. It's one of the ways that we mismanage stress and make the grind worse.
Yeah. If you are working in a place and the atmosphere isn't that good, isn't there a responsibility upon an employer to try and alleviate that situation, to fix that situation?
One would hope, one would think, but the reality is that many employers don't. Many employers aren't aware of it because they don't interact with the entry level, with the lower people down the organizational chart. So they're unaware, and some people are just experiencing. I mean, many employers, many C-suite people, many founders and many CEOs experience all those same pressures because they get them from the shareholders, from the board, from whatever the thing would be. So sometimes it's really throughout the organization. Yes, employers could do a much better job in managing that. But why I wrote this book is because they're not doing that at the moment. So it's up to us to try and make things better. And there's a lot we can do by managing ourselves, you know, more efficiently, more effectively, in a healthier way that could make things better way before we have to wait until our employers actually snap into action.
Yeah, or if indeed they ever snap into action.
When
one assumes they're kind of not going to do that. So so you're recommending some sort of decompress period when you get home. And if, say, your partner is the full-time carer, even if they hand you a baby, you have to say, no, I need 15 minutes to change my clothes and forget about work.
Yes, but you want to say that before the baby's actually in your arms or before they're holding the baby out. You want to actually have a conversation and say, hey, when I get home, I'm very, very stressed out. I want to get my head straight. I need another 10, 15 minutes. I understand you've been with the kids all day, so you're desperate to hand off. But if you could give me those 10, 15 minutes, I will do a much better job at being present, at helping out, and at not transferring that stress to you than I would if I immediately have to get thrown into all the duties. Would that be okay with you? It's a discussion. It's a negotiation.
Yeah. What do you do during that 10 or 15 minutes?
Well, one of the things you need to do is to really shift your mindset. So you want to listen to music that calms you down. You want to change clothes. As I said, you want to process the events of the day. Think about whether you need to figure something out. You want to meditate. If you can meditate, breathe somewhat, you know, do some deep breathing if you can. All those things will help shift your mindset and actually de-stress you, calm you down. Again, you get home after those days, you're in fight or flight mode. You need to come out of that fight or flight mode to employ your parasympathetic nervous nervous system. That's the part of our nervous system that calms us down and signal to your brain that we are now shifting from battle mode of the workday to a less intense after work time with your family, with your friends, whatever the thing would be.
Yeah. And so then the next day you have to get up again and you know you're going to go into this fight or flight mode. That must be inordinately stressful heading in there.
Well, every day can be stressful. But again, if you are framing it in that way, then it would be even more so. Look at your day and say to yourself, what are the good moments that I can look forward to today? There have to be one or two. If not, create them. Who can I call in my 10-minute break to put a smile on my face? Who can I interact with at work that really gets me and we can sit and talk together for 5 minutes, even between those two difficult meetings? That will make me feel good. Be much more proactive about how you curate your day and how you think about your day. Because again, stress is a very psychological thing. It depends on how we frame it. If you experience it as, oh, this is going to be terrible, it will be more terrible than it needs to be. And if you experience it as, there are going to be some really difficult moments, but there are going to be some nice ones, okay? And I can even introduce some pleasant ones during that, then you'll have a much better time of it.
Yeah. One of our listeners has a question for you. Does your guest think pay is the best motivator for happiness in a job? Or is it really more important to work with great people, feel challenged, etc.? My favorite jobs have been the lower paid, but more enjoyable. But I've had to quit to take higher paid roles, which in the long run has left me unhappy. But ultimately, bills must be paid.
Yes, I don't think it's necessarily true that high pay correlates to worse people necessarily. It might be high pay correlates to more stress, which makes people a little more edgy. However, we get used to the pay. We adapt our lifestyle to the pay that we have. And working with better people, being happier around the people, to me is a quality of life issue. And that will be a quality of life issue both within the workplace and at home afterwards. So if the deltas are not that big, if the difference is not that big, then yes, prefer to work with people who are great. Or when you start moving up and take a job with higher pay, try in a job interview to remember that you are interviewing them as well. You want to get a sense of what are the vibes there? What's the culture? How is it? How are the people making you feel? Are these people you would like to spend more time with? As far as you can tell, everyone obviously is on good behavior. But the people really matter. Think of it as a quality of life issue. Sometimes the difference in pay is not worth it. Sometimes it truly is.
Guy, thanks very much for speaking with us today. Guy Winch is a psychologist and the author of Mind Over Grind. A lot of comments on that, it must be said. Nobody's texting to say, I love my job. Been doing that for ages, didn't realize it had a name. Quiet quitting definitely works. Working hard in this country results in more work and responsibilities for the same crappy pay. Where's the incentive? I've been a lot happier in work since I started doing this. I work hard on my own projects, but not busting my hump for a company that doesn't appreciate me. Someone else says, I used to love my job, but a couple of the leaders have changed in the last few months and the entire culture has changed, and not in a good way. I've been looking around for better options, but so far nothing suitable available. It's so hard not to feel trapped. And back to quiet quitting again. It happens in relationships. I was in a marriage where we both just phoned it in for years. Eventually I looked elsewhere and it forced a split. Someone else says, I'd love to find a new job as I'm no longer feeling challenged or happy in my current role or company, but I'm 52. It's near impossible to move at that age. Starting again feels beyond me. And it would be deemed, as overpaid to get a similar role elsewhere. They can just hire someone cheaper. Isn't that shocking, though? 52. And you might already be viewed by the job market as, slightly too old. I work in the residential disability sector. Morale is absolutely shocking. Increasing, demanding, very stressful. And the employer does absolutely zero about it. In fact, exacerbates the situation. And they wonder why there are zero new recruits. Someone else says, I keep getting job alerts to my inbox. I notice that the same companies advertise for the same jobs about every 2 months. You would think at some point that the management might have a look at why they keep going through the motions and expense of filling the same job over and over again. Yeah. Another text that says, workplace bullying is horrific and sometimes so bad you can't feel better no matter what. I think that in this instance, you have to go. I had an awful experience 6 years ago. It lasted for 2 years before I felt forced to leave. It has left its mark on me and my confidence, but relieved I left. I believe the culture is still the same in that organisation. And finally, someone else says, Morrissey was once in some daytime BBC show. And when they asked him about being on the dole in the 70s, he said it wasn't a great experience, but he also had no interest in working because he hadn't found anything he'd like to do. The two presenters were speechless, but he just said, that's what most people think.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.